Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Back with us on the program, Robert Maxim, author of the Legacy series, one of our favorite and most popular guests, back on the program today to share his incredible journey through several lifetimes as far back as a million years, his blunders, triumphs, the many worlds and places where those amazing experiences took place. Robert experienced several sleep time visits to other worlds as a child and witnessed countless alien craft. Now, these experiences continue to date in both wake and sleep states. He studied concert piano starting at age 3, but changed his calling to science following his visionary experiences. The book is the culmination of these experiences shared with the world for the first time. Robert spent over 40 years studying science, religion, and science of life, presented by Dr. Ernest Norman, validating sightings that started in 1962 and expanded into visions on July 13th of 1973. Back with us on the program to answer once again your questions today, Robert Maxim of the Legacy Series. Robert, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me back, Rick.
I am looking forward to this because we got some really good questions. A lot of these, I'm sure, came out of the last program where we talked a lot about reincarnation and what the Bible says or doesn't say about reincarnation. So if you are ready, have you strapped in your seatbelt? Because we're going to have some fun here at the beginning of the program today, tackle some tough questions. You all set?
Seatbelt.
Okay. Check. Here we go. Question number one. Where can I find actual, truthful Bible translation and information? Another question, what's the best version of the Bible from an accuracy standpoint?
That's a hot potato.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm asking and you're answering.
Okay. All right. Well, there's no such thing. And this might come as a surprise. There's no such thing as an actual, accurate Bible or translation. Please know that I don't judge what people choose to believe. And with all due respect and no malice implied toward anyone's belief, there's something I have to add. Just as there is no actual Bible, there's no accurate faith. What you choose is what you know. Of the 43,000 plus Christian faith alive today, none use originals, but some think they do. Others claim their translations were thoroughly checked, they're updated by countless experts from different faiths. Well, in view of so many bias edits and meaning changes, and the fact that Hebrew cannot be translated, you begin to wonder about the legitimacy of these claims. To the naked eye, everything seems fine and benign, but to the inquisitive eye, leaves much to be desired. The ultimate question is, how much risk are people willing to assume versus the amount of effort to avoid it? So, in reality, not everyone is willing to dig for truth or accept its real meaning. Some prefer the easy way out. And that's usually done by listening to inspiring, charismatic speeches.
Yes.
That everything will be fine, and they let someone else assume responsibility. And they would rather hear from others what they need to know, whether it be right or less right. That's like handing a stranger a blank check.
Okay, yes.
You know, in God's kingdom, and this is very important, Rick, you can't make people responsible for your problems or understanding, much less put these people up on a pedestal. Jesus said, pick up your bed and walk. So get off your thing.
Yep, I got it.
This world is full of experts trying to play leader, thinking that they're contributing, and they've been called to preach. Well, no. The moment you start preaching and messing with someone else's problems, you stop solving your own. So trying to lead means you basically abandoned yourself and God. And anyone that does that has baggage. So please beware. People should mind their own business. Stop being selfish and definitely know themselves. Otherwise, you distance yourself from God. These individuals are very easy to pick out. They love using very congested and unclear language and references to take people here and there. Nothing really clear, but everything seems to make sense, to mesmerize and mislead. Many times, and I've caught them doing this, changing scripture to fit their needs. One thing is to tell people of universal law and make a point about Christ consciousness. Another is everything else. Jesus' first commandment is love and respect yourself and others. The second is to love God with everything you have. And that's it. That's the way. No one admits being wrong, and few question what they've learned. So adopting incorrect concepts or faith is one's sole responsibility. Hence, me personally, I don't trust anything. I question everything and constantly challenge what I know. Originals, yes, they're readily available on the internet. So look for Aramaic text. Septuagint and Vulgate and anything newer from there on, there are translations that I would stay clear of.
Interesting. So question and do a little research. And it's interesting because I get it. There's not a particular Bible, a version of the Bible that you particularly believe in. Am I accurate in that?
There are many that will address the needs of many individuals. And again, everybody's in a different stage of evolution. Not everybody can handle ultimate reality. So it's people will have to dig into it and choose and see where they feel comfortable. Even in translations, there is a lot to be gained. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just relative to everyone and what they're ready for. But when you're ready to take the next step, do try the originals. You'd be surprised comparing what you thought you knew with what actually is. It is shocking.
Now, what's the best way to go about that? I don't want to belabor the point here, but I sensed with the question here, somebody that's really trying to get at the truth and somewhat confused about how to do that, because you hear conflicting information. You can hear one piece of scripture interpreted two or three different ways.
That's right. And it happens based on the track of belief that the particular writer or speaker is trying to make a point for. I stay clear of all of that. I try to go, for example, to the writings of the forefathers, what they actually wrote down. I try to go to the originals and read them. And I mean, it's a painstaking process. It's not easy, but that's to the extent you have to go to really see what things say, because besides what these founders said and wrote, when you actually read it, you find out, oh, whoa, what's available today, nothing to do with that. And then there's a whole trail of changes and complaints by translators that basically said, I've been forced to write it this way.
Interesting. There's a lot at stake here. So I'm assuming between the religions, the people who preach the religion, the institutions, they all have a stake in this. Not to be cynical, but they all have something at stake here.
And they clearly do. And again, I'm not saying don't support those organizations. Please do if you feel so inclined. But there again, I do want to inspire you to take the next step and challenge. Don't challenge it directly, because what they're going to tell you is going to be false, it's going to be wrong, it's going to be biased. Challenge it silently in your own research, and you're going to start getting somewhere.
Interesting, because if you point it out to them, they will talk around you, I'm sure. So the best way is to silently go about it. And with the internet available now, it's certainly easier than it ever has been to do that. And I hope we answer that question for the person who sent that in. By the way, you can do that by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. There's a tab there that you can submit a question. You can go to Robert's website. He has several. UnarianSUnited.com. And, of course, his own personal site, rgaetan, rgaetan.com, and submit a question there. The Legacy Series is available. Information at his website. And, of course, the series is available at amazon.com. Brand new covers, really an impressive series, and we encourage you to get information on that. Next question, is there a Christian church that openly believes in reincarnation?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, the Unity Church is perhaps number one on the top of the list. You also have Rosicrucians, you have the Cathars, you have Bogomils, you have Gnostics. There's several of them out there. I can't name them all. But if you check out my reincarnation proof right up under the Science tab on my website, you'll see a cross-religious list. It is not just the Christian religions and not just Asian religions. There are even sections of Islam. There are other agnostic belief systems that are also reincarnation-based. So when you look at Christianity from a point of view of opposing reincarnation, they're actually the minority.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, a question that goes along with that, is there evidence in the Bible of Jesus teaching reincarnation? And this always gets into it. We've got a couple questions talking about that where people, again, will pick and choose and will support whatever argument they seem to be wanting to believe, I guess. Evidence in the Bible of Jesus teaching reincarnation?
Oh, a lot. Actually, let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. That's actually my favorite. If you go there, Jesus used the word regeneration. If you go to the original, the word regeneration, and by the way, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 also uses this word. The translation back to the original is palingenesia. Now, palingenesia was a Greek word that was reserved for reincarnation. So the word reincarnation is directly is in the Bible twice, and that's in the New Testament. If you go to the Old Testament, the letters Gimel and Tav, they appear tens of thousands of times, and they are also references to reincarnation. Now, here's an example. Matthew chapter 11, verse 14. Everybody has stirred up a controversy about that. That's when Jesus said John the Baptist was Elias. Now, there are a lot of preachers that sue him around that and said, no, he was referring to something else and blah, blah. It gets very modeled, you know, conveniently modeled. So let's get right down to the bottom of it. Let's read it in Greek, the original. Autos esti, or a me, Elias. Autos esti Elias. Okay? What does that say? It says, he, autos, not this, he, esti, means is or was, Elias. So put it together, he is, or he was, Elias.
Interesting, yes.
That clear. I mean, that is super clear. And then it says, which was to come and did. So that is period. Now, here's another one. Matthew chapter 16, verse 14, when he said that he was not Elias. I mean, Jesus was not Elias. So here's the second time that Jesus is clearing up the fact that, hey, I'm not Elias. So-and-so is. Look at John chapter 9, verse 1, when the disciples asked him if a man, oh, listen to this one, if a man was born blind because of his prior sins or those of his parents. Now, what is that saying? Was he born blind because of sins from a previous life or those of his parents? Again, you read it in Greek and you get clarity. You let somebody else explain it and gum it up, then it's, of course, it's going to be senseless. But if you read it in Greek, born because of prior sins. So now, here's one that everybody should be very familiar with, but they ignore. When Jesus said in his prayer, give us this day our daily bread, people think this day, today. This day translates in Greek to the meaning of Shabbat. So it really says, give us on Shabbat our daily bread. And Shabbat means earth death, heavenly life, and then return to life. Another reference to reincarnation. Rick, church founders vouch for reincarnation in their writings, and I have a ton of references on my website about that. They wrote it. Now, they're not easy to find and with reason, but if you go and look at my references, they'll take you right to them. So those that counter these passages and purposely ignore or corrupt what the founders wrote, unfortunately, they're using mistranslated text, they're paid to be biased, and how can they be of God? Now, note my exacting Greek translations and how it differs from what most preachers say. Now, antagonists should adopt this Christ consciousness and be sincere. Put their self-a-big religion aside and respect facts without bias. So see Legacy for details and also the Science tab on my site for these exacting details. It's all written up there.
And the site is rgaetan, GAETAN.com. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly. A lot of great information there, including on the Legacy series. In keeping with that, and we have several emails relating to that, and they took the time to email, so I would like to get your input on this. I call your attention to Matthew 25:46, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Good enough for me from the book of God. So he's quoting Matthew 25:46.
Well, you know, Rick, I really don't know what the listener's intent is with this passage. I mean, I know what it means, but for the audience's sake, let me explain what it means. Prior verses to this speak of people being righteous, being sincere, and giving the Christ consciousness. What this verse says is those that fail to exhibit these Christ consciousness or righteous behavior, they will be kolasis. Now, the modern translation for kolasis is punishment. But if you look at the original word, it means correction. It means instruction. So correction instruction is the penalty for being naughty. In reality, it's not about punishment or going to hell like a lot of preachers want you to believe. Not at all. Let's put Jesus on the spot. Did Jesus ever punish anyone for not being righteous? No. Instead, he corrected them. And that brings to light the true meaning of kolasis. Let me bring in 1 John 4:18. This is another place, the second place where the word kolasis shows up. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has punishment. Doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
If love removes fear, and you have fear because you're unrighteous, then your fear and punishment are removed by love, right? So the only way the unrighteous are punished is if you don't love them. If you don't love them. Is that what Jesus said to do? No. So this entire translation is completely wrong. If God sends the unrighteous into eternal punishment, is he perfect love? See, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This disconnect proves that this word was inserted into the text to fit a dreadful purpose. But the actual meaning in the verse is long-term corrective consequences. So the listener's passage is not hellfire and damnation, but a warning of behavioral corrective consequences for going against the law. Again, go to the original. Don't be misled by supposed experts paid to keep you in a restricted, wrongful state of belief. It's only a suggestion. But if it's good enough for you, hopefully this helps you change your mind.
Yes, and again, information at Robert's website, rgaetan, rgaetan.com. One more on that, and then we'll move on to other topics. I've been taught that life is a vapor that vanishes away. James 4:14 states, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a limited time and then vanish away. We turn into dust and it's over." It says nothing about returning in another form. And again, if you're relying on that, I take it from the laughter that's on you then at that point.
Oh, my goodness. What was I just talking about? Take what you've been taught as a grain of salt. Get off of spiritual welfare and take the following information seriously, because your life depends on it. If you thought vanish away means disappear or die forever, think again, and I'll bring you some info here that's going to shock you. Maybe this will wake you up. The word aphaniso does not mean vanish away. What it means is, are you ready for this?
I'm sitting down.
It means to get disfigured, ooh, to come upon old age, to be consumed physically. That's what it means. Where does it say die forever? So why is the listener adding something to Scripture like big religion does that doesn't belong here? You see the problem here? Brother, if you want to be an expert, do so with original works, not paperweights. That's the problem with most faiths today, and I can't state that enough. It's a poor understanding of Scripture, bad translations, and then freely corrupting God's Word. Let's respect God's Word, please. Let's not change it.
If you wanted to compare, let's say you are, what was the one, Matthew 25:46, in your mind, that's convincing there is no such thing as reincarnation in God's world. But I want to check that out. You mentioned Greek translation. Where's the best place to find that? Is that available on the internet? Not that you believe everything on the internet, but can I get some Greek translation on the internet?
Yes, there are several sources that will actually give you the text. I think it's called Blue Line Bible or Blue Text Bible. It's a perfect source. I haven't used it in a while, but it is a great source that will tell you the word. You can go to the actual word itself, look at the Strong's meaning for it, the different meanings, and you can see how it's been used in same or other formats. You still need to be completely out of doubt, is research the word itself in historical Greek. And there are sites that will show you what the meaning of the word was 2,000 years ago. And that's important to know, because language does change it. So I'll give you an example. How about the word cool? Okay. I'll bet you 100 years ago, when you said cool, it meant it was cold.
Yes.
But now, if you say cool, I mean, it's fine. So there are a lot of changes to language. You have to put yourself back 2,000 years ago to know that. As I said before, you have Matthew 19:28, with the word palingenesia. Hey, you have the word of Job. There are passages in Job that are very explicit. You have forefathers like Saint Gregory, Saint Augustine. How about Saint Jerome? Now that you're aware of this, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue to trust your sources or go after what these people are keeping from you? It's your choice. And accountability of what you do to humanity is also yours.
Robert Gayton, our guest on the program. So much there. The website, rgayton.com, G-A-E-T-A-N. The book series we're talking about is Legacy by Robert Maxim, the author. I said one more and we're going to move on. I want to get this in there as well. This is, I believe reincarnation is nonsense, an untested and unproven theory. Makes for good conversation, but basically lacking scientific evidence. You are a scientist, so approach it from that. Is there scientific evidence that would substantiate reincarnation?
You know, that's like calling a vegan a meat eater. You know, it's funny. It's fine. It's fine to think that way. I'm not here to make converts or followers. This probably wakes people up with a pig sticker a bit. But I would ask, what proof does the listener have proving that it's untested and unproven? Did the listener arrive at that conclusion by himself, or was he influenced by someone else? Is that source really fit to venture into the subject? Is it a big religion or big science employee? See, I hear a lot of word of mouth, and I stay away. I stay clear of that.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, the sad part is antagonists have nothing to show for it, other than malformed references. Give you an idea. This thing about the lunar landing being fake. Oh my goodness, a lot of pseudoscientists getting in, and I don't mean to get into that subject in future. I don't want to get into that subject, but gosh, the amount of supposed proof that they bring in, wow! In previous radio shows, I showed tons of hard evidence beyond reproach, including scientific findings, right down to string and atomic theory. I showed issues with virtual space, M-theory dimensions, even the statement of debriefed children. And I am one of those children myself. And I have witnesses in my family that will vouch for these experiences. How about Bible quotes? I mean, I've said things until the cows come home, and still more disbelief. You know, I prepared evidence for those that honestly want facts. If people haven't found it, they have not looked. But my site and legacy has it, so go have a look. And the references to those references and references to those references are also there. So I left nothing uncovered.
Yes, in the series, a lot of great questions answered that we've talked about at the website Scientific Evidence that Robert uses, rgayton.com. A lot of great information there. If you have an open mind, I suggest you go there. If you've already made up your mind, there's no sense wasting your time with the facts. So you could probably just skip that and go watch a basketball game or something if that's what you would rather do. Sort of shifting the gears here, talking about the Bible, though. Does the Bible tell us if there is life on other planets? I recall reading that God created heaven and earth and put man on it. I guess that could go either way. Is there further clarification?
This is indeed a great question, and the answer is a resounding yes. And you know what? Today, I have a surprise for everybody. So feast your ears and eyes on my website, Science tab. There's a write-up that I called Bible and UFO. Hmm. People ought to check that out. I do a deep Hebrew dive on that. And the first item that I concentrate on is Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. And the heavens and the earth were created, and all the host of them. Now, you know what the word host means? It means people. And that word people, I'll go into it in just a little bit. If we're talking about the heavens and the earth being created and older people, it's not just the people on earth. It's everywhere.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
Now, let me take you over to Zechariah chapter 5. There is a flying scroll. And people think, well, okay, somebody took a scroll and threw it on the air and it's flying and he saw the scroll flying away. It's only one problem. Take a look at the measurements of the scroll. In today's measurements, that scroll measured 33 feet. 17 feet.
Wow. Okay.
That's a house.
Yes.
That's a large house.
Yes.
So a scroll that big flying. Okay. Let's take Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. And I think I referred to this one in my last radio interview. But this one is golden. When thou seest the sun, now keep track, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all their hosts of heaven. There's that word host again, which is sabah, and it means armies of people. So, when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the hosts of heaven, which the Lord God spread unto all the people, the word am, under all the heavens. Two references,
yep.
One verse.
Interesting.
And I've got another one that's good. How about Judges chapter 5, verse 20? The stars from their orbits fought against Sisera.
Okay.
Now, this is going to be a shocker. Let's take this from one of the church founders. So for anyone that comes back and says, no, the originators of the Bible never said anything about life on other worlds. Listen to this. We see that not then, for the first time, did divinity begin its work. When it made this visible world, but just as after the destruction of this visible world, there will be another world, its product. So, also we believe that other worlds existed before the present came into being. How about that?
I'm absorbing it, yes. That's, wow.
That's origin from his book 3 of De Principis. And that is also on my website.
I keep telling people, well, you mentioned it, and I keep reinforcing that. Go to the website. There's a lot of great information there, scientific information there. And you'll be doing what I have done like 18 times during the program. Wow. I mean, some of that is just incredible information. And again, we're answering your questions today. We would love to have more. You can go to either website, Robert's or our website, submit the question. We'll be happy to get to them on a future program. Now that we've talked about life on other planets, a number of emails on the pilots reporting close encounters with UFOs over Phoenix within minutes of each other on the afternoon of February 28th. I think there was an episode the end of last year as well. Probably a dozen or so relating to that same topic, wondering exactly what that is, and could it in fact be somebody from another planet?
Well, I have a family that lives in Phoenix. They saw it very clearly. Now, it's rare for the FAA to release this type of information, isn't it?
Yes.
But most refreshing and rewarding to see. This is more sauce for the goose. And when you have thousands, I mean, if not the entire city of Phoenix watching this stuff, and you see these lights that are basically in a pattern, they blink on, they blink off, they blink on, another one blinks over here. And they're all moving very slowly in a pattern away from the airport, not to land, not to take off, but in a direction totally away from South Mountain. Now, where are they going? And if these are helicopters, or as they call them sometimes, flares, if you launch a flare in the middle of a city and it lands, tell me that's not going to catch something on fire.
Yes, yes.
What kind of mentality do people have to even suggest that? And if there are flights that are not registered by the FAA, what's that telling us too? Now, it's like we said, if these pilots actually reported it. I've worked for an airline, and I have, I'm not going to give names or dates, but being in a jump seat and being with the pilots, I can tell you that these pilots saw stuff, I saw stuff, we talked about it, it never went reported.
Now, these were reported, so are we making progress?
I think so. It's about time.
Yeah, in fact, they had the transcript and the actual recording, I believe, on Good Morning America, and it makes it sort of difficult to sweep it under the rug when you have documentation like that and the quantity that we had with that particular incident. What would that be? What would you surmise that, it's not something that's easily explainable? Is it something that we should fear? Is this typical that you, from your knowledge of how brothers from other planets act, what could it be?
Well, if you look back to history, you have paintings of UFOs. You have, like you saw that flying scroll in Zechariah. Mankind at that time was not as populated as they are today, and they basically had no technology. So if these beings from other worlds wanted to take over this planet, they could have done it much easily back then. Why do so now? What people must understand is that those who have had contact with them, we have an idea of why they're here, why they don't interfere, why they don't destroy us. And it's not that they want to either. They're not here to change, destroy. They want us to wake up and realize what and who we are. And we're basically hollow beings that don't even know what goes on in this head or in this heart. We just let these expressions be. We have no idea why we have a lower self, why we come back to clean it up, why we're not doing anything about it. Before they can get any closer to us, we have to be more compatible with them. And that means a lot of soul searching and a lot of soul fixing. We are cavemen, well, even less than that, compared to them. And as I said before, these brothers would rather strike a pact with a population of tigers than with us in the state that we are right now.
Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, we're talking about Legacy Series and a number of other issues. Interesting information available at his website. You can get there by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Got about 7-8 minutes left in the program. It goes by way too quickly. I'm going to jump ahead a question here from the original format to talk about that, and then we've got time for a couple more questions, I'm sure. When you visit other worlds, how do you get there? I'm going back to the UFO and this transportation thing. Are you transported on some type of advanced spacecraft? Just curious. And to me, that sort of ties into when we see UFOs and we're wondering, is that how these people, is this what they use for transportation?
Well, not always. Spacecraft are a nice commodity, but really with their technology, they don't need that. Now, in my case, it's hard to explain. I don't understand the process that well. I have some ideas. At times, my consciousness is literally pulled away while I'm awake. And there I am. It's like I am in two places at once, fully conversant, fully awake. At other times, it happens when I'm asleep, but the sleep part is the least common of times. Only once was I taken into a craft. Now, here's what's interesting. It literally entered my bedroom. Yes, to the wall. And I was awake. Now, once in, I don't recall the rest. But yes, this craft somehow multidimensionally just went right through the window, to the wall of my house. I was living in Whittier, California at the time, and I was 15 and a half years old. And it was a glowing craft. I went in it, but what happened thereafter, I was not allowed to keep that memory for some reason.
Interesting. I'm just absorbing all of this, and again, great information at the website. So that when we're looking at UFOs, and UFOs mean basically unidentified flying objects, and you've got a pretty good idea what we're dealing with those. Now, this is a change of subject here as we wrap up today's program. I was watching TV news, and someone who was able to barely escape a burning home said someone was watching over them. Got me to thinking. Do people from other worlds look over us? Can they protect us? I'm adding, I guess, is that like a guardian angel?
Well, as I mentioned before, the brothers will not interfere. They do advise for those who are ready and have asked for that advice in one way or another, whether it's subconsciously or in between lives. But yes, the circumstances under which that this happens is not only different for each individual, but it can be rather complex, as you can see. There's that non-interference clause, so good Samaritan cannot be made a dependency. The rule also applies to us as well, how we interfere with other people, the help, the teachings, and the assistance that we give them. These must be 1,000% selfless and guided by the higher self. That's our primary advisor. Else, you go down with a sinking ship that you're trying to rescue. So if these brothers interfere with you, or out of emotion or out of pity or whatever it is, and they're doing it outside of their rules of engagement, they are in deep trouble. Not just with the Universal Brotherhood, but they just put some energy into their soul that they're going to have to come to this world to work out. And that is a warning that they heed. First, they don't want to violate the rules. Second, they don't want to cause you any problems. And third, they don't want to come here.
Okay.
So, like I said, it's very complex, and it all depends on higher teachings, higher, shall we say, administrative support, if I can put it that way.
Okay.
You can't just take off on your own and say, I'm going to help this person. No. You got to be very careful. That person may need to go through that negative experience because they set it up to go through it. And if you didn't know better, being a good Samaritan, you may have just caused that soul maybe an extra 100 incarnations before he can come back and actually live through that again.
Interesting. Another question to ask about, do we have guardian angels? Are they someone from our past? And you're basically saying, if I understand correctly, there's no such thing as guardian angels. If you get out of a difficult situation, it's what, more luck than any intervention from another source?
Well, our official angel is our higher self. And Jesus called it the still small voice within. That's the guardian angel. And how many of us even listen to it or are aware of it? No, not at all. There are other beings that are associated with our higher self. Again, it's a very complicated matter to explain. They come from other worlds like Mars, Alpha Centauri, Pleiades, etc. They're part of a higher celestial dimension brotherhood, like Shambhala. And they play by the rules. But what we have to remember is, especially for those who are trying to contact UFOs, here's a word of advice. Any infinite law violation could mean they will have to incarnate down here, like I said. And by coming here, imagine this. Those beings are not only risking their lives, but they're putting their souls on the line for you and me. So the next time you want to contact them, think about what you might be doing to them mentally. We're like leeches to them, as bad as that sounds. and should leave them alone to their privacy and personal lives. We should mind our own soul's business and stop trying to get free UFO rides. We have plenty to do with ourselves, and we have to leave them alone. But when it comes to the higher self, you must live with that higher self at all times and listen to it. You come equipped with it. You can't avoid it. But if we're fearful, angry, and emotional, you're not going to hear it.
Boy, a lot of great information, answered a lot of questions today. And again, I'll go through all of the different websites. A lot of information that Robert talks about, you'll find at unariansunited.com. Excellent website there. And of course, Robert's website, RGAETAN.com. There's the science tab that Robert talks about. I really encourage you to go there. Spend a little time, open mind, and get some solid information. And of course, information on the Legacy Series. And we really haven't talked in the last couple of shows about the Legacy Series possibly becoming animated, motion picture, that type of thing. Any more progress? Yes. Any progress with that?
Oh, yes. I've just submitted, by the way, all 5 episodes to the reviewers. The music track for episode 5 has been completed.
Oh, great.
Yeah, Rodrigo, who is my artist down in Mexico, is working away on getting the 5th episode video up and running. It's going to be a shocker for everybody. I believe it's going to, once I complete episode 5, it will probably be the most hair-raising and the most thought-provoking episode of all 5. But I have to get 3 down first and then 4. I'm in that order.
Well, it's so interesting. And keep in mind as you read this, this isn't just some science fiction that Robert sat and down and imagined. This is basically autobiographical. So you'll get all that information. Find out about the series. You can order it. You can do that at Robert's website. Of course, you can do that at Amazon as well. The websites, again, are Gaetan, GAETAN.com, and go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back in a few weeks. At that point, we'll be taking questions once again. You can submit those questions through Robert's website or our website. There's a tab there for listener viewer comments. We'll be happy to tackle your questions as we did during the course of the program today. Robert, as always, thank you so much for being with us and honestly answering the questions on the show today. It is always fun and challenging to those of us who are listening and absorbing what you're talking about. Thank you for all the knowledge on the program today.
My pleasure. And my love and appreciation goes out to all listeners. And again, as I said before, I am not insulted by any comment whatsoever, but I do encourage people to be free and not fear and not be overtaken by just simple words, but by hard evidence.
And you'll find a lot of that once again at Robert's website, Gaetan, GAETAN.com. Link out by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. That's the program you're listening to and watching. And we're back on today's program right after these messages. Again, the website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.